the extra added costs of having an external body. You know, sometimes when you purchase a product, they don't tell you the full scope of what comes with that product. Right? Yeah, you can purchase a car or a motorcycle. Yes, they have this gear, this CC power, etc. But they don't tell you, you know, when it's slippery on the road or it's exposed to rust, this is what's going to happen. If you go around a bend, it doesn't actually slow down well, or X, Y, Z. So they will not give you the full spectrum of everything. Right? And then you have to experience it for yourself. However, in the process of bhakti in books like Bhagavatam and Bhagavad-gita, it is laid out. There are no surprises of what we can expect. Well, it's already telling us, look, wherever you take birth in this material, you will experience misery because you'll have to change bodies. And that is not a great experience. Whether you're in a place like Hawaii, or a beautiful island in Croatia, or Cayman Islands, Bora Bora, it's still a place of misery because there's still disease, old age, and death. Or to speak of birth, right? Now we're all being afflicted by the pains of COVID and all, what's it, Omicron? What did I call it? Omicron and Delta. And there'll be something next. So, everywhere we go, we are going to be hit with one of the miseries of having, taking birth in the material. It's unavoidable. So Krishna lays it out in the Bhagavad Gita, any pastime in the Bhagavad Gita, clearly letting us know, listen, this is what the natural world is, these are the energies. Krishna has explained his Daini Shakti, right? His superior energy, his inferior energy, and what happens when we try to interact with them, when we try to roll it over, what happens to our consciousness, to our mind. What happens when we engage in trying to fulfill our material desires which burn like fire? Right? So Krishna's very open. He's explained what we can expect. There's no hidden scenarios that will catch us by surprise. So here it specifically mentions, to the extent of our religious or irreligious activities, we will enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of the karma that has been created. So whether it's good or bad karma, still you're stuck in the material sphere, and that's not, we're not trying to just gain access to the highest club in the material world, because there's still repeated birth and death, and we're still not fully connected with Krishna in our most natural setting. So breaking out of the cycle of birth and death is actually our secondary focus. Of course, primarily we want to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. So for devotees, whether that's in the material world or in the higher realms, establishing that connection, that bond with Krishna, trumps everything else. And automatically, of course, we get the blessings, the mercy of going to the same planet as the Lord, being engaged in these pastimes, etc. So that is a devotee's or a bhakti's thinking. I want to reestablish my relationship with the Lord. So in this material world, when we hear the word religious, and when we talk to a lot of people, it doesn't sit well with them. No one wants to be seen as religious because religion has been deemed as something that is very controlling, manipulating, exploitative, and dangerous. Right? So many times they say there's so many wars fought on religious grounds, so many persecutions fought in the name of religion, so much abuse in the name of religion. And if they pick up the Bhagavad Gita, it's on the battlefield. This is a holy book and people are dying and it's fighting, it's ghastly images, or the universal form is so scary, so people are thinking this religiousness itself is unattractive. Of course, what Krishna is proposing is not religion, that is our Sanatana Dharma, our highest Dharma is to be connected with the Supreme Lord. So it's not actually sentimental belief, so that I can all day sentimentally believe about anything or anyone and make that my religion. I can believe that wearing a certain cologne or looking a certain way or worshipping a movie star or a cricket star or a Bollywood actor or actress, I can turn that into a belief system, into a religion, follow their footsteps. Right, we follow the footsteps of the Six of Sons of Vrindavan, of the Gopis of Vrindavan, of Srila Prabhupada and Paramparam. Right, we follow their leadership, we follow their activities and try to serve them. Where in the material world, we follow the footsteps of the movie stars, of the sports stars, of the different types of artists. We put them on a pedestal and that becomes our religion, so to speak. Anything that has any mention of the word God or servitude, keep that thing. No one wants to hear about religion because there's a misunderstanding. Right? This is what Krishna proposes in these texts. It's not religious belief, it's an actual everyday, every minute engagement of the senses. And there's interaction with the Lord, with the Lord's devotees, with the Holy Name. So there's so much mercy coming in different ways. So when we act in this world, when we live in such a way that's been guided by the books of the Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada's purport, then we're actually in a safe path. We're trying to transgress we're trying to go beyond functioning under the laws of original nature, which binds us to this world and which creates more karma. So we only have karma, we're stuck in this material world. When we engage in a process of bhakti, which can liberate us from karmic activities and results, we can actually be elevated out of the material cosmos. So in the 9th chapter of the Gita, when Krishna is giving his confidential knowledge, he speaks to Arjuna about the destination of different people depending on their actions and who they worship or who they pray to. He specifically mentioned, if you worship the ghosts and spirits, you'll go to them. Worship your ancestors, you'll go to them. You worship the devas, you will go to the planets. If you worship me, you will come to me. Which completely annihilates this idea, which most of us, myself included, back in the day, before understanding the principles of Krishna consciousness, all paths reach the same goal. I'm sure some of you have heard this statement. Yeah, you know, it's all one. It's the same thing. Whether you do it like this or like that, you come once a week, do this, or you offer something, or buy, leave it there, or go on a Saturday, Sunday, whatever path you're on, you won't get there. Actually, no. If you buy a specific ticket to go somewhere, it takes you to a specific place. I cannot expect to end up in Dubai if I get a ticket to go to London Heathrow as my final destination. Whatever set of principles we live by, or lifestyle we live by, or our mode of worshipping the Lord or His energies, you go to a specific destination. That is Krishna vehemently stating, that is a fact. In the same chapter, Krishna explains, if you offer me a leaf, a fruit, a flower, I will accept that servitude. Krishna in the next chapter is giving ways in which we can engage, right? It's the king of knowledge, the most secret of all secrets. That entire chapter encapsulates the process of bhakti, particularly the latter texts. They glorify the process of bhakti. As why that is supreme, how by worshipping the Lord, even just by offering obeisances, dedicating everything that you do, everything that you eat, all your activities, do that as an offering to the Lord. And those activities and their results, they get purified. So Krishna is very clear that our actions can liberate us in such a way that we break out of the cycle of repeated birth and death, and we do not have to accrue any more good or bad karma. Because that is still, good karma is still binding to the sentient world. That is not the goal of the devotee. So the modes of goodness, passion, ignorance, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita, they do, they bind us to this world, and they're always, you know, competing, as Krishna said in the Gita. Sometimes more goodness is more prominent in life, sometimes passion, sometimes ignorance. So the advantage, of course, of the mode of goodness, Krishna explains how when one is in the mode of goodness, all gates of the body are illuminated with knowledge. So that means what you hear, what you see, what you speak, your senses are actually more open, alive, and alert. If we think of the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion is driven by unlimited desire, food activity, hankering, longing, right? The mode of lamentation that will come with it anyway. So it makes us a little bit clouded in our judgment. We do not think clearly most of the time before functioning in the mode of passion. We are driven by an unlimited desire to acquire, to experience sensual gratification. Now, when your senses take over, when your intelligence is lacking, your senses take over, more often do we make the wrong choices or the least intelligent choices. So that is what happens when the different modes, whether it's the mode of passion, which creates food activity, great attachment and longing, or the mode of ignorance, which dulls us. It dulls our activity from our eating habits to our sleeping habits. And it's not just one day, 2 days, it becomes a permanent thing that we are in this slump of just lack of knowledge or inertia, lack of movement, there's no illumination of any sort. Right? That energy really cools you down. It's very, very difficult to come out of the mode of ignorance. There's no regulation. Right? Anything comes, anything goes. So it becomes difficult to actually extricate yourself from the lowest mode. And that is why the lifestyle that is depicted or that is explained by Srila Prabhupada, rising early, keeping the body clean, eating a plant-based diet. We even go further, our food is offered to Krishna, it becomes prasadam, and that way it spiritualizes our body. So we're trying to elevate our consciousness. And when one is in the mode of goodness, as I mentioned, one sees things in the right position. One sees things clearer than one would be in the mode of ignorance, where you're just, you know, there's a whole lot of illusion there, there's a whole lot of madness. Or when you're functioning under attachment and fruit activity, it's very, very difficult to actually see things clearly as they are. So in order to try to get rid of these different types of sufferings, the list is endless in the material world. Whether it's adi-atmika, adi-devika, adi-bhautika. Suffering is everywhere. We have to deal with our own stuff. There's so many other living entities around us. The elements, COVID, the flu, TB, malaria, whatever. There's diseases. There's so many things that get in the way of having a decent, you could say a decent life, but having a material body is not going to be decent because it is just rigged with issues. And that is why Prabhupada mentions in the purport of 1411, when every gate is illuminated by the symptoms of goodness, it should be understood that one has developed the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one can see things in the right position, one can hear things in the right position, and one can taste things in the right position. One becomes tense inside and outside. In every gate, there is development of the symptoms of happiness, and that is the position of goodness. So, of course, this is not the ultimate state that we want to be. We also want to go beyond that Buddhist into transcendence. So, hence, we apply the bhakti process, the hearing, chanting constantly the glories of the Lord, offering our foodstuffs to the Lord, adorning our body with markings of the Lord, and hearing about the Lord constantly. So, this is what is going to purify our existence in the material world and get us out of this karmic situation. But it is that karmic situation that binds us to this world. You go up to the highest planets, you go down to the lowest planets, you have to work and accrue karma, and that keeps on with the cycle of repeated birth and death. So it may look like sometimes we hear about the different, the heavenly planets, how you live for longer, your body is so beautiful, it's so fragrant, you smell like a gazillion frangipanis, whatever, right? Strong bodies, beautiful bodies, long life, a lot of vigor. It all sounds good, but that is not the end goal, because even that has a it will fade away. Now, if that is when the heavenly planets, when your time is up, the garland shrivels up, the youthfulness shrivels up, and then down we go into the lower planetary systems. So it's not a permanent fix. The mode of goodness is not a permanent fix. The mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, these are not permanent fixes to our problems. They permanently fix us in the material world, no doubt. They anchor us into the material world, but they cannot release us out of there. That can only be done by a spiritual process like bhakti that can take us out of the material sphere. So when and if we act accordingly, following the directions given by the great sages, by Srila Prabhupada, the entire Paramparampara, spiritual masters and teachers, then there is hope on our own to escape what happens in the material sphere. I mean, nothing really belongs to us. Right? How we can't control things that don't belong to us. Like even this body has been given by material nature. Right? The air that we breathe. All the elements, the water, where everything has been designed so perfectly in this material world. Yes, it is Krishna's inferior energy for the living entities. And in this domain, we can make spiritual progress as well. Krishna has come, performed his pastimes, left the pure devotees to write down literature and give us processes to attain him, even while living on this earthly planet. We can still make rapid spiritual advancement. And we can use the short life to that advantage. Srila lament, oh, if only I could live for 100 years, a magnificent body, strength of 10,000 elephants, and etc. It sounds nice, but it's not really the best deal for us. If we follow the directives of the Gita, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that it is not so much about the external, what we get from being a world of goodness, or what we get for living a religious life, whether we are following some karma condescension, like Ajahn Mill, of course, as we heard in the past few classes, Ajahn Mill had a tinge of Vishnu Bhakti, and he was following some karma processes as well. But the one thing that saved him ultimately, even after the sinful activities that he performed up to that, elderly age, was that he called out the name of Narayan sincerely. And the Lord's representatives were there. So some of us, if we think of where we were before accessing the process of bhakti, what you speak of karma, that's a regulation, you're following something. And I often think that yes, it's although it may be materialistic, or people, they'll worship devotees and and bring boga and sing prayers on certain days, there's still some level of punya, there's still some level of piety of some persons, where some of ours is no regulation, no nothing, the senses are just running wild, no understanding. So some of us were actually worse off than Ajahn. Worse off, no regulation, no understanding of sacrifice or worship of any lord of any kind. But somehow the other, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya or Chananda, even those persons who were unfit, unqualified to receive Krishna praying, not only just power, but Krishna praying, in this Kali Yuga, those fallen ages, Lord Chaitanya made that accessible. So if you think about it now, it is such a powerful process, we may live 60 lives or 30 lives. However, we have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that he has given a process that can give you Krishna praying. And that's been given to us by the Six Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, and all the books that they've left behind to help us understand how to make that connection. Because there's no other religious sentiment or beliefs may keep us still in this material world, but this process of bhakti, trying to attain Krishna prem by following the nine process of bhakti, that can take us out of this material situation for good. And Krishna states many times that if we worship him, if we offer him with love and devotion our activities, all our actions, we will not return to this material sphere. We should not have any fear of that. And we dedicate this one life to Krishna. I remember one of the calendars Prabhupada was mentioning, just give this one life to Krishna. We've given so many lives to just forgetting Krishna and forgetting who we are. But if we can dedicate this one short life to Krishna, that is the greatest saving grace. So the verse that's been mentioned here, 14:18, I'll just read that in the Gita. Those who train in the mode of Krishna's gradually go upwards to higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish world. At the end, Prabhupada says there is an opportunity for men in the modes of ignorance and passion to be elevated to the mode of goodness, and that system is called Krishna consciousness. But one who does not take advantage of this opportunity will certainly continue in the lower modes. So even some of us who were steeped in Tamaguna and Rajaguna, barely any goodness, just by honoring Sampasar, hearing a Haranam, the chanting of the holy name, somehow or the other, because we are Satchidananda, we are eternal full of knowledge and bliss, and we are parts and parcels of the Lord. Something awoke, something was awakened when we were exposed to Krishna in one of these forms. And by gradually feeding ourselves with more Krishna and Krishna's mercy, our understanding and our proper vision was actually clearer. And that's how it is possible for persons like Jagai Madhais of this Kali Yuga to actually chant Hare Krishna and be blissful. Like we read about Jagai Madhai in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the activities that they performed as known of Kali Yuga. And back then it was of course extremely abominable for society, it was very different. The quality and the consciousness of people was very different. But in the ages that we're living in, that's just kind of normal behavior, right? So Prabhupada said it is possible for persons who are in the world of passion, people who have unlimited desires, fruitive mentality, And in the moment of ignorance, we are driven by madness or illusion, great envy. It is possible for people with such qualities to be elevated to the level of, or to the mode of goodness by taking up Krishna consciousness. And what that means is they change their eating habits. But you start eating a certain way, and Prabhupada mentioned that it transforms you from the inside out. When you change what you put into your body, there's obviously a change in lifestyle, a change in your person. So you change what you do with your eating habits, your sleeping habits, what you do with your senses, that actually illuminates the body with knowledge, and that's what the mode of goodness does. At least it takes you out of the lowest modes of operating. So just by coming in, rising early, coming to the temple, hearing the kirtan, seeing the form of the Lord, seeing the devotees, honoring prasadam, hearing about Krishna's pastimes, you do that, you gradually get yourself from the lowest mode and you rise at least to the mode of goodness. And the more we do that, of course, our consciousness gets more and more purified, our activities get more and more purified, and we try to act on a transcendental platform. So the process is that powerful that it can uplift us from the lowest mode of nature. And at least situate us in the mode of goodness where we'll be able to hear and accept more. Alright, I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any questions or comments.
Getting a ticket to a specific place, you go to that, you are not expected to go to somewhere else.
Yeah.
My question is more regarding that. I've been told, also probably established, that all of us eventually we will go back to Godhead. And can we consider that sometimes when we go to celestial planets or infernal or lower dimensional systems like that, being in transit, and eventually we will go back to Godhead, all of us?
Well, since time immemorial, this dance of being in the material spiritual cosmos has been going on because we are, we're that marginal potency. We can either stick our hands in enjoying the material or the spiritual energy. So we have that free will to choose. And as per the statement, then eventually we will all end up back home in Godhead with the Lord. That depends on the living entity as well. So we may begin our journey, it may take us countless births. We may start in different places, we may be influenced by this in one life, then travel from there, become a yogi, become a bhakti yogi, like that. So it may take us a few lifetimes to get there, but that is as per the free will of the individual entity in their relationship with the Lord. So yes, as I mentioned, not all paths are going to take us to the same destination. There is one ultimate, the highest destination, and there is one way of getting there. Or there is a process to get there. I cannot use the same process to go to my ancestors or the spirits. It will not be the same as going back to Vaikuntha or Goloka. So there's different processes that will get you to different places. But as you go through your journey back to Krishna, you may start off somewhere. You may start off worshipping, let's say maybe Ganesh in one life, and then you worship Hanuman, then worship Lord Ram. Eventually you arrive at Krishna. So it may take a few more times of jumping from here to there, guided by the super soul in the heart, guided by the world, because as you remember, whatever spiritual, whatever superstition we have, it goes with us into the next life. So whatever spiritual benefit we perform in each life, that keeps on accruing. So we keep getting mercy eventually by the Lord's grace. We will end up where our desires want us to end up. So we may worship Lord Shiva for a very long time, maybe Shiva Bhaktas, and by the mercy of Lord Shiva, we may start worshipping Lord Krishna at some point in a different lifetime. So it may take a while, but there's a process to go to the Lord, and when we follow that process, it will take us there.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Actually, I have one thing, but please correct me if I'm wrong. That Srila Prabhupada said that his disciples will go to the heavenly planets.
He said that who what?
That his disciples will go to the heavenly planets. His Grace Jana and the Prabhupada said that first, but then he said he went to Vaikuntha.
So Prabhupada said that his disciples are going to the heavenly planets, and then later on someone said that they actually went to Vaikuntha.
That happened with Jana and the Prabhu. I think Prabhupada said that most of his disciples will end up in the planet of the difficult.
So that's what I was thinking, because they were practicing Bhakti Yoga,
Well, we may come across, like I said, it may take us a few lifetimes to actually get to Vaikuntha Goloka. So, if we're fortunate enough, we may end up in the heavenly planets, the Lord or his devotees may perform some pastimes there. Right, we may engage in service there and continue on our path back home. We may keep on going further to the planets of the Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, or come back to the earthly realm and continue hearing about Krishna. So we may be in this earthly planet, then go to the heavenly planet. It really depends on what we've been doing in this life, but it is possible that we may be here and then go to the heavenly planets if we are desiring that. Right? It's what we desire. Prabhupada came to give us the highest, but in between there's a lot of stuff that happens. And to break out of this material state, we really have to be pure of heart and really want no one but Krishna to serve. So if there's still remnants of other things, we go to different places, but still, as I mentioned, our bhakti stays intact. Whatever we've done will still be there. So our next destination, we will continue. We will associate more with the Lord and His devotees. We will have the opportunities to do that until we finally get to that destination by the mercy of the Lord and His devotees.
Thank you very much.
So it's just, and what we desire.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.